Every single one of us are probably in one of these categories, one of these three. You're either in a problem or a difficulty, or you're coming out of a problem or a difficulty, or you're getting ready to go in to a problem or a difficulty. How can you say that, Pastor Charlie? Because this is life, and life is full of troubles and problems that all of us have this in common that we face. So I want to talk with you about dealing with difficulties and trouble. So let's pick it up. I'm going to read from Mark chapter 4. This is a rather lengthy passage. So engage your minds and let's dive in here. If it's up there, you can read along with me, okay? It says, on that day, when evening had come, he said to them, it's awful quiet in the second service. He said to them, let us go across to the other side. And leaving the crowd, they took him with them in the boat, just as he was. And other boats were with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves were breaking in to the boat, so that the boat was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. And they woke him up, said to him, teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? And he awoke and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said to them, let's all say this together, why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith? And they were filled with great fear and said to one another, who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? Dealing with trouble. Couple thoughts. The first thought I just want us to remember, and this is just a way of reminder, is that Christianity is not the absence of problems. We might say it like this, you've heard me say this before, Christianity is not escapism. Christianity deals with reality, real life. And in real life, there, as I mentioned earlier, there are problems in situations. So Christianity is not an escape from the reality. By the way, that's your first fill in the blank, I think. Not an escape from the reality of difficult situations and problems. Now, Pastor Charlie, why would you mention that right at the beginning? Because my fear is that there may be some of us in here who are saying, who are feeling, I've got problems. I've got some difficulties. And so my Christianity must not be working. And so we can be tempted to give up on our spirituality, on our faith. Because after all, I've got problems. Or there may be some of us in here who are thinking, I've got some problems. I'm in some difficult situations, so something must be wrong with me. So I just want to start with the thought. Isn't it interesting? Now track with me here. Engage your mind. Isn't it interesting that Jesus is the one who led these guys into a difficult situation? He is the one who said, it was his bright idea. You remember from the beginning, he's the one who said, hey guys, let us go to the other side of the lake. And so I can imagine the disciples thinking, Lord, we're just doing what you told us to do, and we've encountered a storm. Wow. So there must be something more going on here. So let's just talk about that for a moment. The various sources of our problems and difficulties. Let's talk about that. Number one, our problems, where do they come from? Well, how many know that there are problems that we create ourselves? Come on. There are problems. Anybody in here made a real boneheaded decision before? Like, what was I thinking? So let's just own that for a second as a source of a problem. There are problems that we make ourselves. Now, I'm going to confess here that I enjoy watching the fail videos in my Instagram feed. And there's some really dumb decisions that you can watch people making. I think we have a couple of those that we'll watch here. I'm jamming with, oh! So we recognize that there are problems that we create for ourselves, decisions that we have made. There's another source of problems that sometimes we forget about, and that's problems that come from the enemy. The enemy. I was talking to a dad recently and having real problems in the family with the kids and so forth, and he was just saying, I've gotten caught up with work, I've gotten distracted, but I just dawned on me the other day that I think that this is a spiritual problem, a battle that's going on right now. What do you do, listen to me, this is real, if we take the scripture seriously, what do you do when you're in a spiritual fight? I mean, the scripture says, we'll read this a little later on, but in 1 Peter 5 and 8, you can jot that down. I don't know if it's in your notes there, but it says, be alert. Wake up. Be sober. The adversary, the devil, is prowling around seeking someone that's just not paying attention, unaware, to devour. You can disagree with that if you want. You can wrestle with that, but there's an enemy. How do you fight that enemy? Well, let me suggest something to you, that you don't try to fight him yourself or those powers yourself. One of the easiest, one of the best ways you can do to fight a real powerful, scheming, cunning, crafty, the scripture says, of all creatures made. You're not going to outsmart him and all his forces. The scripture simply says, draw near to God. That's how you fight him. Congratulations, by the way, for just making the effort and being in God's house. Draw near to him. God will help give you a strategy or an insight to help you be victorious over his plans and strategies. So there's trouble that comes from the enemy. He always resists good, anything that's good and healthy and right, and he's always the great instigator of evil and wickedness. So the enemy. But there's a third trouble. Some of us are going to struggle with this, but we just read about it, and this is the trouble that comes from the Lord. Have you ever encountered difficulty or trouble when you're heading in the right direction? Thank you. All the rest of us, you're just good to go. You're like, I'm doing everything that I know to do, right? And I feel like I'm doing what you asked me to do, and yet I'm encountering a storm, a difficulty. I would really rather like to call this when the Lord brings us to a place of trouble. I would prefer to call it like a challenge. Because when the Lord brings a challenge into our life, it's not designed, His intent is not to harm us, but His intent is to take us to a new level. There it is. If a door seems to close and we're doing everything we know to do what's right, it must be that God has a better door that He wants to open up in our lives. Maybe, just maybe, when the Lord brings trouble our way, He's trying to get us to grasp something that we think we know, but we haven't yet learned. Wow, we just went deep there. So the truth is, many of us in here have not yet learned what we think we know. We've got a lot of head knowledge about God. But head knowledge about God, when you're in a storm, is like a kite without a string. You're just flying around, not tied down, but experience. First-hand experience that you understand, you've encountered God. That, in a storm, is like an anchor that will hold me firm. So what was God doing with His disciples here? Well, they encountered a storm, but listen, after the storm, they would never be the same. Their perspective shifted on Jesus. Did you catch it? Jesus stood up and told the wind and the sea, be quiet. Shh. And a great calm came over. And did you see the disciples? All of a sudden, they had a brand new perspective on Jesus. Great fear and respect came upon them. And they asked themselves, who in the world must this person be that even this wind and the sea obey Him? And so So the Lord brought them to a place of new revelation and understanding about the Lord. So some of us in here may be walking through something, but it's not to harm us. It's so that we can learn what we think we know. What are you talking about, Pastor Charlie? It's so our experience with God will move from just the head or just surfacey to a bedrock, deep, unshakable anchor. First-hand experience. I know my God. He is with me. Oh, my goodness. Some of us, I just hear you thinking out loud, oh, great. Seriously? I've got problems, right? I cause problems. Troubles. The devil causes problems, troubles. And now, on top of all of that, you're telling me the Lord gives me problems and troubles too? Seriously? Give me a break. I need a break. Well, I wish I could, but there's no way out of this one. What are you talking about, Pastor Charlie? Well, it's called life. That's why Christianity is so robust and strong and just continues to last, because it deals with life. The reality of life. It's not an escape. It deals with reality. Reality. And reality says that all of us encounter trouble. This is our common lot since the beginning. I want you to look at what Job said. He knew this thousands of years ago. This is what Job said. Man who is born of a woman is of what? Few of days. That means he's just barely on the earth. And what happens? He's full of what? Full of trouble. I mean, every person in here, just almost from the get-go, we're going to encounter trouble. But here's the crazy thing. This is where the good news comes in. Right here. All of us are in the same boat here. We're going to encounter storms and difficulties, but then we come to the good news. This is a message that runs throughout Scripture, and it's also the testimony of Christ followers for generations, for thousands of years. What is it, this testimony? It's this. Here it is. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. I'll say it again. This runs throughout Scripture. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Come on, let's say it all together. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. That word saved, I know some of you have just limited that to just a prayer that you prayed after a sermon when you were 13 years old. That word saved means helped. In all of your trouble, helped. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. A person told me that they were riding with a friend of theirs, and the car in front of them had a bumper sticker that said, Jesus saves. And his friend, who doesn't walk with the Lord, just looked at him and said, saves from what? I mean, that's a great question. Saves from what? Saves from trouble. Anybody in trouble? Anybody ever been in trouble? Anybody going to get in trouble or difficulty? Jesus is a Savior. Whoever calls on His name shall be saved. Now, this is all through Scripture, but let's just look at one. Look at Romans 10 and 11. The Scripture says, follow along with me if you would. The Scripture says, whoever believes in Him, that's Christ, whoever believes in Him, trusts in Him, will not be what? Now, you can put your trust in a lot of places, but if you'll put your trust in Christ, you will not be literally ashamed, will not be disappointed. Let's keep going. This includes everyone. Really? Everyone? I thought it was just church people or you know, good people. Or this includes what? Everyone, because there is no difference. God is the same Lord of all, and what? He's stingy with His blessings. He withholds them for based upon your ethnicity and your background and really what you've done. If you've done something really, if you've really got yourself in a mess, then I might hold some of my, no. Whoever calls on His name. Look, God is the same Lord of all and richly blesses all who what? Call to Him. Now let's read 13 together. As the Scripture says, everyone who calls out to the Lord for help will be saved. So let's remember the good news. What is the good news? Here it is. Whatever trouble you find yourself in, I don't care if you got yourself into it or the enemy's got yourself in it. Whatever trouble you find yourself in, if you invite the Lord in, you will overcome. You will get through that trouble. It will not defeat you. You may have been knocked down, but if you invite the Lord in, He is someone who resurrects. He is someone who lifts up. Though you may have fallen, but maybe you have failed. If you invite the, whatever it is, if you will call on His name, He will help you. Pastor, are you talking to me? Not me. Yes, you. He will help you. It's the good news. That's why He is called a Savior. Lord, You're my help. You're my strength. Look at the psalmist. What the psalmist, this is over and over and over in our song book in the Scriptures. Look what the psalmist said. I sought the Lord. He was too busy for me and said He would get back to me next week when He checks His calendar. I sought the Lord and what? Wow. He delivered me from all my fears. They looked to Him and were what? Cast down and gloomy. No, there's something. You ever notice someone who's maybe in trouble, but yet their faces are radiating? Where does that come from? I looked to the Lord and they were radiant. Their faces were what? Not ashamed. Let's keep going. This poor man what? Cried out, and the Lord heard him and what? Saved him out of. Oh, goodness. We read that sentence again. This poor man cried out, and the Lord heard him. Sounds like this person writing this psalm knows, not just has head knowledge, but knows something about God. This poor man cried, I called out to the Lord. The Lord heard me. He's my rescue. I would have lost my mind, but the Lord's helped me keep a sound mind about me. I should have lost my mind. There's so much stuff coming my way, storms and difficulties and troubles, but God's keeping me. He's keeping me. Oh, taste and see. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is what? Good. Blessed. Blessed is the student, the mom, the dad. Blessed is the man who puts their confidence, their trust in the Lord. Listen, if you're going through something, I don't care what it is, you're going to, make sure Jesus, the Savior, is in the boat. Before I pass, that sounds obvious, but I just want to stop. Is he in your boat? Have you invited him in? Just put a pause on everything. Say, wait a second, Lord, I need your wisdom. I need your strength. I need your help. I need your ability, whatever that is. Lord, come in. Come in my heart, my mind, the one who speaks peace and calm storms. Lord, come into my situation. Here's the thing, is that when we're in a struggle, a fight, a difficulty, there's real temptation. And here's the temptation that we can fall into. We have to be careful of these, is that in the middle of it, we can begin to think and even fool ourselves into believing that God doesn't really care. By the way, that's a trick of the enemy. He knows he's got you up against the ropes. So while he's got you there, he might as well whisper in a lie and say, you know what? God didn't give a flip about you in your situation. Isn't that what the disciples did? The waves are coming in. Jesus is sound asleep. By the way, I'm praying for that for some of us in here. You've been trouble sleeping, but I'm praying when you leave this week, the storm's still going to be hitting you, but you're just going to stretch out on your bed, put your head down, and fall slam asleep and get some good rest. The storm was going. Jesus is passed out. He's asleep. The disciples wake him up, and what do they say? Don't you care? Don't you care that we could drown, that we're perishing? And that's one of the first things that comes to our mind and heart. Lord, don't you see me here? Don't you care? I can't take one more thing. And if you have come for anything in this service just to hear this, I want to tell you, God cares for you right where you are. In that difficulty, in that trial, in that situation, he cares for you. Let's go to the scriptures. 1 Peter 5:7 says, come on, 1 Peter 5:7. Give all your worries and what? Woo! Come on, let's read it again. Give all your worries and cares to God, for he is unconcerned about you. No, he cares about you. Stay alert. Here's that scripture. Stay alert. Watch out for your great enemy. He's tricking you. One of the ways he can devour you is to feed a lie into your mind and say God doesn't care about you. He cares for you. I want us just to stop right here in the service, right here. Put your hands out like this, if you would, and make a fist like you're holding on to something. You got it? You're holding on to it? Cast all your worries, all your anxieties, and all that. What did the scripture say? Upon the Lord. Why? Because he cares. What? I want you to remember this. We need to remember this in a trouble. The Lord cares for me. Give all your worries and your cares to God. I'll make sure I'm reading it right. You ready? Give all your worries and your cares to God, for he cares. And I just want you to open your hands up and give them over. Can we pray just right here, right in the service? Let's just pray. Lord, you're my help. Be my help, Lord. I can't carry this by myself, Lord. You're my strength. I'm not very strong, Lord, without you. Lord, help me to receive your help. I know you've been trying to help me. My hands have been closed. I open them up, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that I'm in your house today. And things are going to start to turn around. I know it. Because my trust and my confidence is in you. In Jesus' name. Come on, let's pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Lord, thank you for caring for me. There's another temptation in the storm. Do you remember what Jesus asked his disciples? He says, peace, be still. The sea and the wind stop, and there's a great calm. And then he turns around and looks at his disciples and asks them two questions, and both questions mean the same thing. Do you remember what he said? What'd he say? Huh? I don't know, Pastor Charlie, just tell us. He asked a question. He said, why are you so afraid? Do you still have no what? Faith. Same question, just asked different ways. You see, the temptation is in the middle of the storm is to allow fear to take the center place, and it begins to push faith out of its rightful place in my heart, in my mind. What are you talking about, faith? Confidence. Confident trust in the love of God. God, you've got me. Even if the boat goes down, God, you got me. You've got me, and I trust in you. But in the moment, if we're not careful, we can allow that situation and begin to push on our faith. And you've come to God's house, and I'm just reminding you, keep your confidence in the love of God. Now look at 1 John, what John told his church. He said, we know, look at this, consider what he was saying here. We know the love that God has, what? Come on, let's say it together. We know the love that God, stop right there. What is that love? He had just got finished telling them, remember that God loved you so much that he died for you. Remember the cross? God so loved the world. God demonstrates his love for us, and that even while we were sinners, Christ died for us. So we know he's already died for us. He has demonstrated his love for us. So we know the love. Now, I want you to think about that now. Now, let's keep going with that verse. We know the love that God has for us, and we what? We trust that love. Where God's love is, there is no what? Fear. I can't. Why are you trying to make me afraid? I can't be afraid. God loves me. I know that. God's perfect love. Read it with me if you would. God's perfect love does what? Drives out all fear. What are you trying to do, Pastor Trump? I'm trying to remind you of the love of God and let it begin to drive out that fear. Hebrews 10:35, do not give up your confident trust in the Lord. Why would the scripture say that? Do not throw away confident trust in the Lord. Why would that be in there? Because all of us have a temptation to begin to do what? Start pulling back. Start letting our faith shrink, our confident trust in the Lord. Remember the great reward that faith and confidence brings you. So, we began with Christianity is not. Let's close it. What is Christianity? Christianity is... Yes, there's difficulties. Yes, there's troubles. Yes, there's a fight. Yes, there's this and that. But in spite of all of it, I have a hope-filled and joy-filled walk with God through whatever it is, through the ups and the downs, the twists and the turns that life can throw all of our way. Let me close with this scripture. This is what Jesus said. John 16. Jesus said this. Trusting me. Is it up there? Read with me if you would. Trusting me, you will be unshakable and assured, deeply at peace. In this world, you will continue. Now, Jesus is just being real, right? In this world, this isn't heaven. In this world, there's going to be difficulties. But be encouraged. Take heart. I have overcome this world. And if you're with me and I'm in you, guess what? You're going to make it too. Come on, let's pray. You can close your Bibles. Turn your phones off. Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for this day. This is the day that you have made. The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. Lord, you're not going to forsake me in the valley. I'm not going to be afraid. Why? Because you're with me. And I'm coming through. Come on, I'm coming through. I'm coming through the other side. I can do all things through Christ, who is my help and my strength. Lord, I thank you for today. Lord, I thank you that someone under the sound of my voice, Lord, in their heart, crying out to you. Lord, I'm so thankful that I can confidently say those who call on you shall be saved, and that help is on the way. In Jesus' name. Come on. In Jesus' name, all of us said. All of us said.